Our study tonight covers quite a bit of scripture. It's Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 16 to chapter 43, verse 13. Jeremiah is thriving amid dooming unbelief in Judah's people. God called Jeremiah to prophesy in Judah during its apostasy until God's judgment fell on the nation. Jeremiah's ministry is then similar to what God's servants face in our era of spiritual decline. Such a calling can be marked by political opposition that seeks to cause God's servants to cease being able to do his work. Jeremiah 41, 16 to 43, 13 reports on godly Jeremiah's thriving amid dooming unbelief in Judah's people, and it offers a lesson for our insight, our application, and edification. This is a long section of scripture, but it's a single unit, so I'll spot read as we go. But by way of introduction, after Jerusalem's fall to Babylon, Jeremiah heeded God's will to submit to the advice of Babylon's captain of the guard that Jeremiah dwell in Mizpah, which is about 5 miles north of Jerusalem, under the rule of Babylon's puppet governor Gedaliah. And however, Gedaliah had failed to heed sensible advice from Judah's guerrilla forces and being on guard against Ishmael of Judah's royal seed, who might try to kill Gedaliah to take control of Judah's people. Well, Ishmael indeed then, by deceit, assassinated Gedaliah, and Johanan the son of Kareah and the other guerrilla forces rescued Jeremiah and the people who had dwelt with Gedaliah from Ishmael's forces. The guerrilla forces believed that when Babylon's king heard of Gedaliah's assassination, that he would blame them for Gedaliah's death and attack them. So they planned to flee into Egypt for asylum. Let me read that. Jeremiah 41, let me start with verse 17 and then go to verse 18. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt, because of the Babylonians, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael the son of Nethaniah had slain Gedaliah the son of Hekam, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. They were sure that the king would say, okay, we've dealt with these Hebrew people enough, and now they're killing, okay, let's just go take them all. You know, enough of this. And that's what they probably thought. And the guerrilla forces, you know, from a human perspective, that's what you would think. However, they thought it good to get God's message through Jeremiah on their planned flight. For Jeremiah's prediction about Babylon's invasion had been proved to be true, validating him as a true messenger of the Lord. So they asked Jeremiah for God's word about their plans. In Jeremiah 42, 1-4, they promised that God would be a true and faithful witness if they did not heed Jeremiah's message from the Lord. Verses 5 and 6 of chapter 42. This is very important. Then they said to Jeremiah, "The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all the things for which the Lord your God shall send thee to us, whether it be for good or whether it be for calamity, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send ye, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God." So, they're making quite a commitment there. They're going to obey. Well, it's interesting. 10 days later, the Lord gave Jeremiah the message that the people had requested. In verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah." So, Jeremiah then gathered the people together and the guerrilla forces, and he informed them that if they stayed in Judah, not fearing Babylon's king, God would deliver them from the king's hand and even have him show mercy on them. Verses 8 through 12 of chapter 42. Then he called Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces which were with him and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and he said to them, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you, not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I have changed my mind concerning the calamity that I have done unto you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he, that's the Babylonian king, may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. Now, that's interesting. He's going to make a Babylon, because Nebuchadnezzar is going to think, you know, these people have stayed here. I'm showing up, but they've stayed. They've got to be trusting that I'm going to do them well. And he would believe the story about Nethaniah, who was of the royal seed. You could understand why Nethaniah wanted to kill him, because he's trying to gain power. But God says, don't you worry about the king of Babylon. I can control him. But that's a tall order for these people, because they've been used to distrusting the Lord. However, they would not listen to the Lord's voice to stay in Judah, but flee into Egypt. If they did that, the sword and the famine that they feared from another Babylonian invasion would pursue them even down into Egypt. That's verses 13 to 18. Well, God knew that the survivors in Judah wanted Jeremiah simply to approve of their plan. So the Lord informed them through Jeremiah that they had made a fatal mistake in agreeing to obey the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. Notice verses 19 and 20. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go into Egypt. Know for sure that I have admonished you this day. For you, dissembled means that committed a fatal mistake in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord, your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. See, what they really wanted to do is to get Jeremiah to confirm their plans. They were not about to submit to the Lord, or what Jeremiah said the Lord would say. So they're not being honest with the Lord. And that's one thing, if you're not honest with the Lord, you're in trouble. Because the Lord will hold you to that. Well, after Jeremiah had given this message, all the proud leaders of the group told Jeremiah that he had given them a false message that was not from God. The Jeremiah scribe Barak had manipulated Jeremiah into giving a message that would cause him to be delivered into the hand of the Babylonians. I want to read that. Verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 43. It came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spoke Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt to sojourn there. Amazing, they're telling this prophet, who's a proved prophet, because his prophecies have come true about Babylon, they're saying, you're a liar. That's tough. But Barak, the son of Neriah, that's his scribe, has set you on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Babylonians, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives to Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from the nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. So they came even to Tapanes. Tapanes is in northeastern Egypt. So Johanan, the guerrilla forces, forcibly took all the people, including Jeremiah and Barak, and went to Tapanes in northeastern Egypt. Jeremiah was thus forced to go into Egypt against what he knew was God's will for him. In addition, God in Deuteronomy 17:6, and later in Isaiah 31:1, had warned all Israel not to return to Egypt for the nation's protection. You're not supposed to go back there for protection. You trust me. Don't go back there. He did it under Moses in Deuteronomy 17:16. He did it under Isaiah, who was before Jeremiah, a couple hundred years before Jeremiah, in Isaiah 31:1. So they disobeyed not only Jeremiah, who's a proven prophet, they disobeyed the prophet Isaiah, is another proven prophet, and they disobeyed the prophet Moses. So you've got three heavyweights here, and they're saying no to him. Well, the Lord knew that Jeremiah was innocent of this move, so he still ministered through Jeremiah, telling him to publicly take large stones and bury them under the tiled brick terrace in Tapanes, and such a paved area has been found in front of the entrance to the royal wedding there in Tophanes in Egypt today. Verse 8 and 9. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah and Tophanes, saying, take large stones in your hand and hide them in the clay, in the brick, or actually under the pavement, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And verse 10, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne right over these stones, or actually this pavement, that I've hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. When he comes, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as for death to death, and such as are captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword for the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives. He shall array himself in the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garment, and he shall go forth from there in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that's the house of the sun, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. So, Jeremiah then prophesied. He was told to prophesy before Judah's people in Tophanes that God would send Babylon's king to set his throne over the stones that Jeremiah had buried there. That Nebuchadnezzar would invade Egypt. He'd destroy it, slay many people, take many of them captive while destroying Egypt's idolatrous structures. So the king that they were afraid of, who thought they were going to face if they stayed in the land, God says, okay, we'll just arrange it. You're going to go to Egypt? We'll go down, we'll get you in Egypt. They would have been much better off just staying right where they were at and trusting the Lord. The lesson is, for not heeding God's proven prophet Jeremiah and Scripture, Judah's survivors fled in fear of Babylon to Egypt, forcibly taking Jeremiah with them. God said that Babylon, whom they feared, would then invade Egypt. A couple of applications here. May we heed God to trust him for his protection and provision versus fleeing from trouble in our own plans and our own efforts. It's never good to follow our own plans independent of the Lord, even if we have good intents. And good intentions, it's always best to follow. God can see what we can't see, and we need to follow him. Number two, though it was God's will for the people of Judah and Jeremiah to stay in Judah, since Jeremiah was forcibly taken into Egypt, God did not hold him personally accountable for sin, but he continued to minister through Jeremiah. So if we are part of a group that counters God's will opposite our personal choice, we can be sure that God does not hold us accountable for sin, but that he will still work with us and bless us. I've been at a rash of funerals this year, okay? The last a couple of them just recently, and one of them was at Valley Community Baptist Church. It was the memorial service for Bill Sweeney's mother, Judy. And it was interesting. His former pastor, who's now retired, Bill and Bonnie had gone to Valley for some time, and his Pastor Jay was the pastor that was there. And he was up speaking, and there was something wrong with the mic system. There was this tremendous feedback. I think what happened is they had the pianist on a mic over, and there was feedback through that mic. And anyway, and so Pastor Jay got up, he started, and as he spoke, there was this hum, this ring, and finally, and the microphone was on a rod, and so he was able to swing it. He just swung it away, and he just spoke independently of it. And I really respected that, because as a pastor, I'm aware sometimes you have problems, you know, with microphones and whatnot, but you do the best that you can. And I was thinking of this passage and this type of a situation that someone might face. Pastor Jay wasn't responsible for the mic system. He was a visiting pastor, but he did the best with what he could. The ringing was bothering him, and I could tell that he was afraid it was bothering people. It was beginning to bother me as well. He just swung it away, and even though it was quieter, you could hear him, and there wasn't this hum. And he didn't view that as his responsibility. His responsibility was to get the message out. And he went ahead and he did a real good job in getting the gospel. The gospel was very clear, and for which we're grateful. And he actually read the testimony of Bill's mother. There was a wonderful testimony about how she had come to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. How she found that it was not by good works and deeds that she had to recognize that she was a sinner. She needed to be saved by grace. And so he read that and did a good job with that. But I thought it was really good. If we are in a situation and there is a hardship, or we're not in total agreement with something that is there, or something that is, in this situation, I wouldn't call it sin. You know, it was a problem. But I thought it was a good illustration, because if we find ourselves in a group that doesn't do that which is right and we don't agree with it, God's not going to hold us responsible for the group's decision. He holds us responsible for our decision. So we have to make sure that we come clean with the Lord. And if we do, he'll continue to use us. Jeremiah wasn't supposed to be in Egypt, but he was forcibly taken down there. They probably said, we're not going to leave you here because you might tell on us to the Babylonians, so you're coming with us whether you like it or not. And they probably did at the point of a sword. And when that happens, you got to go. Otherwise, it would be death for sure, and that didn't make sense. But the Lord went ahead and used him. So I think what we need to do is to recognize that God holds us individually responsible for our own actions, no matter what the group around us does. Jeremiah still tried to work with the group, and God still tried to work with them as well, but he didn't agree with what they did, and that's important.